Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this morning service. Let's get started with prayer. Father, we thank you for being a father, for being our creator. We thank you for being God, for being the one and only God. Father, we want to glorify your son Jesus this morning. And we pray that you would open our hearts, that you would open our ears, that we would listen to your word, that we would understand your word, that we would receive it deeply within us, that it would transform us from the inside out to the glory of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to open your Bibles in the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 30. And before I will read the first few verses in this chapter, I just want to give a little bit of context here. So we're going to read a lot about David this morning, King David. And David, by that time, actually, he lived in the country of the Philistines. So he had fled from King Saul, who tried to kill him over and over again. And so at some point, he decides to go to the Philistine country, which was not the best decision, but nevertheless, he did it. And he had around 600 men who were accompanying him and who were kind of supporting him during battle. And actually, David had been given an entire city by Achish. And this city was called Ziklag. And so David and his men, they had left Ziklag for a couple days and had left their families there. And then they return, and this is where verse 1 starts. So 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. We read, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day, so they are returning home. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Imagine this. They wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed. This actually comes on top. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. Yeah, so this is a very challenging situation in the life of David. They returned to their, by that time, home city, Ziklag. And then they find it burned, and they find that all their women and children have been taken captive. No one is left. Everybody has been captured by the Amalekites. And now they return to Ziklag, and you can imagine that this seemed to be a pretty hopeless situation. So very difficult, and we read that they were weeping aloud until they had no strength left to weep any longer. So that was already pretty tough for every one of them, including David. So he is. But then what comes on top is that actually all the men who are with him, and these were a couple hundreds, they actually seriously talk about stoning him because they are so bitter, which in a way one can understand. But of course, that, was even more challenging for David. And but then, the key to solving that problem, we then find when we keep reading. So the last bit of verse 6 tells us, but David found strength in the Lord his God. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord. So he was seeking the Lord. He was approaching him. He was coming near to him. David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? So shall I pursue the Amalekites who have come and burned Ziklag and taken captive all our families? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. So God answers David very clearly, pursue them. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. So this must have been very encouraging for David. And as we keep reading, we find that this was actually the key. That, you know, David did not, you know, decide to flee and, you know, to escape from all these men who want to stone him. But no. And he finds strength in the Lord, and he decides to seek the Lord and to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord actually shows up, and he very clearly talks to him and encourages him to pursue the Amalekites. And he promises him that he will be successful in the rescue. And this is actually what really does happen. And so apparently the strong relationship that David had with the Lord was key. In this, I mean, seemingly hopeless situation. I believe in the beginning, maybe also for David, it rather seemed hopeless. But then at some point, I think, he remembered, I know my God. And I know from the past that my God is stronger. And, you know, that for sure God has a solution here. And so he believes God for a solution. And he has hope, apparently. He has hope. And since he has hope, he actually can be a messenger of hope in the lives of all these 600 men who actually accompany him. And I think it's very worth having a closer look at David and his life and why he was actually able to behave like this in the situation and not to try to escape from it and leave all the 600 men behind and just make sure that, you know, he saves his own life. Let us look at another situation in the life of David, a very well-known situation. We find this also in the book of 1 Samuel. This is chapter 17. And of course, it's about David and Goliath, this giant Philistine. So we find this in 1 Samuel 17, and I will start reading from verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damim, between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with a valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. This was around 3 meters in height, so he was really tall. He was a giant. He had a... Okay, this is not too important. Verses 1 to 4 I wanted to read. So verse 4 was a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. And then I will continue reading from verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." Verse 11. On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So the Israelite army, including King Saul, they find themselves in a very difficult situation. They have this giant, Goliath, showing up every single day and defying the armies of Israel, and they are very much discouraged, and they are very fearful, and they are terrified, and they simply do not know what to do about the situation. For them, it clearly was a hopeless situation. They did not see any solution here. And another verse which makes this very clear is verse 24. In the same chapter, there we read, "Whenever the Israelites saw the man," so whenever they saw Goliath, "they all fled from him in great fear." So this is the situation that the Israelite army finds itself in. They are very fearful, they are terrified, they don't know what to do about it. They really find themselves in a hopeless situation. But then David shows up. And by that time, he's actually probably around 17 years old. He was like a teenager. And what we read is that David is very, you know, bold. He's very bold. And for example, I mean, he was actually sent to the Israelite army because his father Jesse had told him to do so, and so simply look for his three oldest brothers because they had been part of Saul's army and they were also about to fight against the Philistines. So David's father Jesse, he simply wanted to know how they are doing, and so he sent his youngest son David to basically bring them something to eat and to provide for them to some extent and to just ask them how they are doing. And David comes there and he does so. And then, of course, he also sees Goliath defying the armies of Israel. And then he starts asking, you know, the soldiers around him, what will be done to the man who will kill Goliath? And then they tell him, well, he will be given Saul's daughter as a wife. And he will also be exempt. He will also exempt his family from taxes in Israel, and what we, for example, then read is in verse 26, second part. David says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" So he talks about Goliath, that he should defy the armies of the living God. He's the very first who actually says, "How does he actually dare? How does Goliath dare to defy the armies of Israel?" So he is not fearful. He is not fearful. And then verse 36, he actually talks now to King Saul. And in verse 36, he says, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God." So David is very courageous. He's very bold. And he is convinced that God will give him the victory. And this is exactly what occurs. So he kills Goliath in the end. And of course, this is extremely encouraging for the Israelite army. And then, of course, they start fighting against the Philistines. And the Philistines actually become fearful and flee from the Israelite army. And what I really believe, what the Lord showed me these days, is when pondering about these passages, is David was able to overcome such great difficulties because he actually feared God more than men. He feared God more than men. And if we go back to the situation in Ziklag, as I had said, when he came back to the city with his 600 men accompanying him and found the city burned and all the women and children taken captive by the Amalekites, I mean, David could have fled. Just want to repeat this. There were hundreds of people who actually seriously talked about stoning him, because they were so bitter about him. So the situation was extremely difficult for him. But David decided to stay. He didn't flee. He stayed and he inquired of the Lord. And, you know, he was looking to the Lord and he was caring more about what the Lord says compared to what actually people say. And it was a very difficult situation. And he was able to overcome this, the hopelessness in that situation. And what I found absolutely striking is that apparently once he had inquired of the Lord and once he had been talking to the Lord, he actually was able to convince these 600 people who were about to stone him to actually follow him and help him to, rescue all the families. This is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. He feared God more than men. And it's the very same thing with Goliath. David knew his God. He did not have any doubt that God would enable him to defeat Goliath. There was not any doubt. And he was not irritated about what Saul was saying to him, because in the beginning, when he talks to Saul, Saul says to David in verse 33, Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." And verse 34, but David said to Saul, he was not irritated about what the king actually was saying to him. He knew his God. He was fearing God more than the king. And thereby, David, again, he was able to overcome the fear and the hopelessness who had really gripped the entire Israelite army. So David was hopeful and therefore could become a messenger of hope, be it to the Israelite army or be it to these 600 men that were accompanying him during that time when they lived in Ziklag in the Philistine country. And why? Because he feared God more than men. This is why he was not only hopeful, but could actually bring hope to many, many other people. And basically, to finish up, I just want to also let us have a close look why or how actually David learned to fear God more than men. And based on the word of God, I believe that his own family actually was crucial for that. So let us have a brief but a little bit closer look at David's family. Let us turn to now 1 Samuel 16. I will not read the entire chapter. 1 Samuel 16 deals with the prophet Samuel coming to Jesse, so the king, David's father, and his family, because the Lord sends Samuel to Jesse and his sons, because he says, I want you to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king of Israel. And this is when Saul still was king by that time. But the Lord had rejected Saul for specific reasons. This is a different story. We will not go into that this morning. But so Samuel was called to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king in Israel. And so he comes to Jesse and his family, and he says, let us consecrate ourselves for a sacrifice. And so Jesse and his sons, they consecrate themselves, and then they gather for the sacrifice. And then, of course, Samuel expects that one of these sons that he will be shown, or that he will be presented by Jesse, will be the coming king. But as he says in verse, 1 Samuel 16, verse 10, he says to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And he had been shown seven sons of Jesse, but Jesse had an eighth son, the youngest son, and that was David. But he was not present. And apparently Samuel did not know about David, apparently. Jesse had not told Samuel about his youngest son for some reason. But I could imagine that this showed, Jesse was having less appreciation for his youngest son for some reason. For some reason, he thought that David is not as important as his other brothers, so David does not need to consecrate himself, and for sure the coming king will be one of these seven sons. But he was wrong. We don't know the exact reason why Jesse did not tell Samuel about David, but he didn't do so. So, and I believe it shows a little bit of less appreciation that Jesse had for his youngest son. So we read this in verses 5 and 11, that apparently Jesse had not told Samuel about David, because in verse 11, Samuel asks Jesse, so he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" And then, "They are still the youngest," Jesse answered, "he's tending the sheep." "Oh, okay, that's interesting, bring him here." And apparently David then is being anointed by Samuel to be king in Israel. And another situation, which is, this is very clear. I mean, it can't be any clearer, I believe. This is 1 Samuel 17. And this is the situation where, you know, David comes to the Israelite army, who is about to fight against the Philistines. And he's asking all these men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel. So this is verse 26 in 1 Samuel 17. And then actually his oldest brother, Eliab, he actually hears David asking these questions. And then we read in verse 28, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness?" And this is now the strongest statement. "I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is." Ooh. That's a very strong statement. So he really treats David very badly, and apparently he didn't know his youngest brother at all. He was thinking so badly about him. And I believe, the aggressiveness in this statement clearly shows that he was not fine with his youngest brother for already quite a while. You know, this was not like a single incident. But probably this is something that he had like nurtured in his heart, unfortunately. So this really shows that David had challenges in his own family. And I believe that at least partially because of his challenging family situations, the hope that was to be found in David's life was actually birthed in his own family. It was birthed in these difficult challenges he was facing in his family. And in his family, at least there partially, he learned to care more about what God is saying about him than what actually his own family is saying or thinking about him. So this is, I believe, where David really learned to fear God more than men. And this is where he developed a stronger relationship with God. And this actually set the basis for the great victories later on. Be it like defeating Goliath or being defeating the Amalekites and rescuing the families who had been taken captive after Ziklag had been raided by the Amalekites. So this is the word, really, I really believe that God wants to tell us this morning that David could be hopeful, and was hopeful, and was a messenger of hope because he feared God more than men. And so let us pray that we would also be once, knowing Jesus and knowing him more and more and fearing him more and more. And by doing so, becoming more and more hopeful and being messengers of hope to those around us who desperately look for hope. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and thank you that your word is true, and thank you that your word is powerful. Thank you for strengthening us through your word. And I really pray, Father, that we would grow in our fear of the Lord, that we would grow in the fear of the Lord, that we would grow in our relationships with you, that we would get stronger in our relationships with you, that we would be more acquainted with you and your character and your ways, and that we would learn really from the heart, that we would learn with all our hearts to fear you more than men, and thereby to birth hope in our own lives, and by doing so, being messengers of hope to those around us. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.